Okay, our next presenter is Tyler Sowers from North Carolina State University, and I'll let you introduce your title.
All right, thank you. Okay, thank you all for coming. Today I'll be talking to you about the past year of my master's work, which has involved arsenite and arsenate desorption to biogenic iron oxyhydroxides formed in natural and laboratory environments. We can actually see here one of our field sites where we obtain iron, and this is an example of our iron 3 biofilm, which we'll talk more about later. So why are we looking at arsenic? As you guys probably know, arsenic is a major contaminant in both drinking water and food. And 150 million people are affected daily by this. So as you can see, this is significant. Many adverse health effects too. It's primarily known as a carcinogen. However, it can also have birth defects, neurotoxicity, and even diabetes. So this is a far-reaching issue affecting many people. And we can actually see skin lesions here occurring due to the arsenic poison. So in order to understand arsenic cycling in an environment, we first need to understand what sequesters it preferentially. So iron 3 oxyhydroxides play a major role in environmental cycling of arsenic. So iron 3 oxyhydroxides have a large affinity for arsenic and a large surface area and are environmentally ubiquitous. Therefore, this is a major player controlling arsenic mobility. And we can actually see here a unit cell of 2-lion ferrihydrite, which is the iron 3 mineral that controls this arsenic mobility quite strongly due to its high specific surface area and reactivity. So, as I've been saying, it has a high effect on mobilization and the release of arsenic, depending on what occurs to these iron 3 oxyhydroxide minerals with desorbed arsenic. And lots of research has been done concerning absorption of arsenic to synthetic minerals. However, not much has been done concerning neutrophilic biogenic iron 3 oxyhydroxides and their absorption of arsenic. We can see right here a TEM image where we can see one of our biomineral samples actually, and the red represents iron hotspots and the green represents oxygen, which kind of delineates the edges of our particle. So more on how these biogenic oxides form. So we have iron 2 being supplied via groundwater at relatively anoxic conditions, okay? And this iron 2 goes to the seep interface that's relatively suboxic. And the iron 2 can then convert to iron 3 via biological oxidation due to the presence of iron oxidizing bacteria at this suboxic zone. This then can go on to form our iron 3 biomineral, which we can see is fluffy biomass right here, and actually produces a sheen, which is also a biofilm right here. Again, this is we're looking at circumneutral pHs, so this is about a pH 7, and this can occur abiogenically as well in situations where we have just an oxic surface water. However, when we have this suboxic zone here, that's when we can see this iron 3 biomineral being formed preferentially. So, more on these biominerals. They contain cell-derived organic matter, and this can definitely affect the reactivity of arsenic, poor arsenic, and can play a major role when you're trying to compare it to the absorption by synthetic minerals. And so we can actually see here some biomineral that's forming in the environment, and we have SEM images kind of detailing the variance in morphology we actually see from iron oxidizing bacteria. So with relatively little research being done on these iron 3 biominerals formed at circumneutral pH, we came up with two primary research objectives. The first is to determine the extent of arsenic absorption to iron oxyhydroxides originating from environmental, biogenic lab, and abiogenic lab settings. The second is to identify arsenic absorption mechanism differences to iron 3 oxyhydroxide biominerals. So in order to conduct these experiments, we first have to go through sorbent preparation. And first, our samples were taken in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where North Carolina State is, and at Rocky Branch Creek. And here we can see these box regions is where I actually sample. And we're sampling the fluffy biomass. And we sample this via syringe. This is a great picture of me in action. And we take this mineral that we sampled back to the lab, and they can conduct experiments with it, such as absorption isotherms and kinetic experiments, which I'll detail more later. Now for laboratory biominerals. For this process, we used diffusion gradient chambers that we built. And here we have an iron sulfide source, which is our iron 2 source, and an anoxic chamber, which is also right here. And there's a permeal membrane allowing for the iron 2 to go to the oxic chamber, where we have, well, relatively, it's suboxic, where we have iron oxidizing bacteria. This allows, at about 7 to 9 days, for the production of iron 3 biomineral, which then settles at the bottom right here, and then we can filter this and use it for isotherm experiments and other things. Today I won't be showing you any isotherm data involving this, simply due to the fact that it takes a while and also it produces very little biomineral, but I'll be showing you a little bit of XAS data. So we need to understand what is actually in our minerals, that we need to characterize it so we can better understand what's occurring in our isotherm experiments and experiments in general. So first we use flame atomic adsorption spectroscopy when we're doing CBD extraction for total iron content. This will allow us to normalize our isotherm data to total iron. SEM as well, so we can detail morphology. XAS, which we've done at the Stanford light source to elucidate structure and the method by which it absorbs, mechanism. And BET analysis, we still need to do this so we can normalize the surface area. Our BET analyzer is currently down. And XRD as well to kind of complement what we see in XAS as far as structure goes. So absorption isotherms and kinetic experiments is primarily what I've been doing. And we've been trying to keep this at circumneutral pH to better model our environmental systems. And we've used adsorbic concentration of 2 grams per liter and tested a arsenic concentration range initially of 0 to 150 milligrams per liter. We determined also that we needed to run our isotherm for 48 hours. And you'll see more of this later when I show you some kinetics data. That's why we chose that time. And kinetics experiments were performed up to 72 hours at similar conditions as to what you see here. So this is shaken for about 48 hours and then taken off and analyzed using ICP-MS. And this allows us for our isotherm experiments to quantify arsenic absorption extent and for our kinetics experiments to quantify arsenic absorption rate to these iron 3 biominerals. We also did this for arsenic 3, and we did this in a glove bag at 2% oxygen. We ran into problems when we first used a glove box because this was anoxic, and we actually found out the hard way that we had iron-reducing bacteria present in our biomineral sample. Therefore, we saw our samples weirdly turn black. So that resulted in some problems, so now we do it in a 2% oxygen content glove bag. So this shows our rate of arsenic 5 absorption to our iron 3 minerals. Here on the left we have abiogenic 2-lion ferrihydrite, and on the right we have environmental biogenic iron 3 mineral. So we can see times on the x-axis in hours, and on the y-axis we have absorbed concentration in milligrams per kilogram. And we can see we have a relatively significant absorption rate in the early stages, which is what we would expect. However, we see around the 48-hour mark a leveling off for both of these. So this kind of allowed us to determine that a 48-hour equilibration time would be appropriate for our isotherm experiments. So here is some isotherm data. On the y-axis, we have dissolved concentration in milligrams per liter, and on the y-axis, we have absorbed concentration in milligrams of arsenic per millimole of iron. So this data is normalized to iron content. And these different fits, which are Freundlich, were determined with biomineral taken at different dates, which is labeled right here. And we can actually see we saw more arsenic 3 absorption than arsenic 5 absorption, which is consistent with what we see in the literature for batch arsenic experiments. But we can also see something interesting here where it's relatively similar across the board, especially for the arsenic 5 samples. This is because we normalized the iron content, kind of hinting at iron is a major player, as we would expect, in the absorption of arsenic. So now we take this arsenic 5 data, compare it to what we see with 2-lion ferrihydrite, and we see around 2.5 times more arsenic 5 absorption than synthetic. Here we have the same y and x axis, and this is again normalized to iron content. So this is represents pretty significant data potentially because we see such more absorption for our biominerals. So this might need to be considered when you're trying to understand arsenic cycling environmental systems due to this significant absorption. So since we see this absorption difference, we have to ask the question, why is there such a difference here? So we can actually look at our iron XAS data and kind of get a hint as to why this is occurring. So here is K-spacing for a variety of standards in our samples, and there's the Fourier transform of that data. So we had a variety of standards, ferrihydrite 1 and 2 just signifies differences in when we ran the samples, and DGC represents diffusion gradient chamber mineral. So For our environmental mineral, we can actually see in this shoulder right here, which represents our iron neighbors, we can actually see it corresponds relatively closely to ferry hydride. But it's not a perfect fit, and we think that since it seems to be more poorly ordered, this might explain why we see more absorption for our biomineral samples. Also important to note is that for our DGC mineral, we see that corresponds decently well to ferry hydride and goethite, which is consistent with what we see in the literature as we see some goethite presence for biominerals formed in the laboratory. So now we need to know how the absorption occurs, what mechanism we're looking at. So on the left, we have some Zanes data showing that our arsenic-5 remained arsenic-5 throughout our experiments. And we have arsenic-3 and arsenic-5 is sort of synthetic ferry hydride right here taken from the literature. And we can see for our environmental samples, our arsenic to iron shoulder here corresponds pretty well to our arsenic-5 synthetic ferry hydride standard. So in this paper, they found that they had intersphere complexation. So we believe from this that we can expect intersphere complexation occurring in our own system. However, we need to do more quantitative examination of this to fully support that. And it looks slightly different as well. So from just a fingerprinting standpoint, we might see actually something like outer sphere. However, we definitely would need to validate that with more time. So with that, the big take home here is that our environmental iron-3 biominerals absorbed more arsenic than our two-line ferry hydride. And this is highly dependent on our iron content. And so we see a variety of iron contents depending on when we go out there and sample it. So this needs to be considered when trying to understand arsenic cycling in our systems. And again, a comparison to the literature suggests that we have dominantly intersphere complexation of arsenic-5 by these iron-3 biominerals. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone at NCSU for their support. I've had a lot of help along the way. I really appreciate everyone on this list and beyond. And thanks to all the funding agencies right here in the labs. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes, sir. Right, so we plan on determining the carbon content and then normalizing to that as well. That's a great point. So we don't right now, but we plan on doing that. Yes, sir. We expect an environment to change over time with aging, but as far as testing that, I haven't actually tested that, but that's a great point to consider for sure. We definitely expect to see that environment, though, but I'm not sure. Yep. Yeah, so we can have a variety of different iron oxidizing bacteria. For this lab biomineral, you can see in this thank you slide, we actually use leguminosarum or rhizobium leguminosarum. But in an environment, we can have like leptothrix and a variety of other iron oxidizing bacteria present. Thank you.